and there's a designation of cattle by the American Cemental Company that the cattle are full bloods. And the full blood designation was an appropriate description for somebody else who tried to say that their cattle were full blood, that that was indeed a violation of an infringement of title provision of an insurance company. And we would urge the court to follow that case that we think is pretty much right on point. And the Charter Oak, which is a Seventh Circuit case, talks about the fact that there can be a very broad interpretation of title. So we say that the infringement of title is applicable. That's an exception to trademark in 1 year. If you find that it does indeed apply, as we urge, then there is a duty to defend. The case needs to be remanded, and you need not even go into it this time, the resolution of the trademark issue. And I note that my time is running short here, so I would like to reserve the balance of my time, if I may. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Mullen. We'll hear now from Mr. Cheney.
May it please the court, Robert Cheney on behalf of the Hartford defendants. I'd like to begin sort of out of order with the prior publication exclusion, because the prior publication exclusion was not addressed by the district court, and Hartford contends that it provides an alternate basis for affirmance of the district court's judgment. The prior publication exclusion is found in each of the three Hartford primary policies, and it precludes advertising injury coverage or advertising injury arising out of publication of material whose first publication took place before the beginning of the policy period. And as this court indicated in a recent decision in Taco Bell versus Continental Casualty, the purpose of the exclusion is to eliminate coverage for a risk that has already occurred. And the court also indicated that the exclusion would bar coverage because the wrongful behavior had begun prior to the effective date of the policy.
You know, Mr. Cheney, I'm not sure that I have a firm grasp of how the first publication exclusion operates. On the surface, I have to tell you that I find your argument persuasive, given that NAA's complaints themselves alleged advertising prior to the effective date. But why does it really matter?
Well, it matters because that's what the policy says, and that's an exclusion, and courts have held that the exclusion is unambiguous and therefore enforceable.
But see, the problem is that in part we might have to make a determination that the first publication was substantially similar and or not to the publications that occurred within the policy periods. And as NAA has suggested, we may not be able to make that determination based on the complaint alone. Although it seems somewhat likely that the publications were all alike in the material respect, that they falsely suggested that the defendant's goods were made by Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But you see what my problem?
I see what the problem is, and that's a problem in many cases. We feel not a problem in this case based on the allegations of the complaint.
But I've had the same issue. It's really a procedural one in many ways as to whether this is the kind of thing you can just resolve looking at a complaint and an insurance policy. Because as I recall, the complaint does at least allege that there are different advertisements for different products using different designations. And it well may be on a summary judgment record or something like that that what Judge Rovner is saying is true, and that you then you examine them and you see is there any difference in a material respect. Mm-hmm. You might say no, but you might not. And the problem with Taco Bell is that it does say the exclusion doesn't apply if there are different advertisements that use the same idea, as long as you know they're sufficiently different. You know, they can't be the same. Or substantially the same.
With due respect, I don't believe that's what the Taco Bell decision says. And we've cited the Taco Bell decision because I think even though the court ruled against the insurance company in that case, I think the reasoning of the court supports Hartford's position in this case.
Well, what Taco Bell says is the exclusion doesn't bar coverage of different advertisements that use the same basic idea, so long as the complaint alleges that the advertisements are different.
And that's the point, because here, if we have any advertising idea, and Hartford contends, and we submitted in our brief, that there is no advertising idea at all, but if there is an advertising idea, the advertising idea is simply to advertise your goods as authentic Indian goods. That's one advertising idea. And that advertising idea, according to the allegations of the complaint, was published in all three policy periods and prior to the beginning, the first policy period.
But what Taco Bell says is even if it's the same basic idea, it could be expressed in different advertisements, and I think your own policies have an extraordinarily broad, practically tautological definition of what an advertising idea is. An advertising idea is an idea for an advertisement.
Again, I would have to disagree that that's the holding of the Taco Bell decision. You have to look at the facts, I think, of that decision. In that case, the plaintiff alleged that Taco Bell stole or basically copied an entire advertising campaign using a chihuahua with attitude. No. However, and Continental in that case argued that the exclusion applied because there were advertisements published before its policy period using this theme of a chihuahua. Now, the court held that the exclusion didn't apply because in the complaint, although there was an overall chihuahua theme, there were a number of sub-ideas for which the plaintiff sought relief, and that's the ideas are somewhat amusing, but they're spelled out in the decision. You know, basically what the chihuahua is actually doing in each of the commercials. So, in that case, you had an overall theme, but you had individual advertising ideas that spanned the Continental policy period that occurred within the policy period. In this case, you have a theme, but you don't have specific advertising ideas. You have one advertising idea, and that's, at best, that Stravina, or the divisions of Stravina, was advertising its products as authentic Indian products.
How do we know that without a record of the advertisements? Just as you were able to describe the Taco Bell case as one involving a chihuahua, we could describe this as one involving Native American productions of various kinds, but it's only when you look at the detail of it that you can see either that it's just the same thing over and over again or whether it's in fact something that's got different manifestations.
We're at the duty to defend stage, so we look at the allegations of the complaint, I think,
and we have to read generously, of course.
Reading them generously, the only claim that Native American Arts has against Stravina is that it's advertised its goods as, or suggested that its goods were authentic Indian products. And that's the only idea that the plaintiff claims that Stravina copied. You have to go back to the advertising injury offense, and there are two advertising injury offenses that the plaintiff claimed his allegations fell into, and that's copying an advertising idea in your advertisement or infringement of title of a literary or creative work, artistic work.
Aren't your arguments a lot more difficult to make for the 0103 policy, which refers to any violation of any intellectual property rights. I mean, it's hard to, well, it's hard for me anyway, to characterize the false designation of a product as Native American as a violation of intellectual property rights.
Well, and now we're going back to the origin or designation exclusion.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the plaintiff in the district court repeatedly argued that the IACA was analogous to Lanham Act claim because they both sought to protect a designation of origin. And he did that because he wanted to shoehorn
Origin or authenticity.
Authenticity. He wanted to shoehorn his claim into the copying an advertisement offense. And courts, including Judge Getchell in the Floating versus or State Farm versus Floating case, have repeatedly held that trademark infringement in the course of advertising falls within the advertising offense of misappropriation of an advertising idea or style of doing business. So it suited plaintiff's purpose to argue that an IACA claim is analogous to a Lanham Act claim in connection with trying to shoehorn the claim into the advertising injury insuring agreement. But when it comes to this exclusion in the third policy year, he turns around and argues that suddenly we don't have an intellectual property. It's not like an intellectual property claim. It is like an intellectual property claim. It certainly protects the property rights of Indians, their creative works, from some party advertising their goods or suggesting that their goods are authentic Indian goods when they're not. That's protecting a creative property right, and that's like an intellectual property right.
But that's not the language of the 0103 policy. Mm-hmm. As you set it out on your brief on page 10, it says, arising out of any violation of any intellectual property rights, comma, such as patent, trade secret, etc., or other designation of origin or authenticity. So when you use the term such as, you are saying these are IPRs. It's not similar to or analogous to. So don't you think under that policy you actually have to find an IPR?
I think it is an intellectual property right.
So you're going to go all the way and say IACA creates IPRs.
Well, it protects an intellectual property right.
Well, it may be like an intellectual property right, but I'm not sure it's an intellectual property right.
Well, certainly the plaintiff argued it was like or very similar to an intellectual property right throughout the course of the district court case. In any event, whether or not the third policy year is coverage under that policy is excluded by the designation of origin or authenticity exclusion. The prior publication exclusion applies, and as we've argued in our brief, we don't believe that this claim falls within the insuring agreement of advertising injury in the first instance because there's no advertising idea that was copied. And number two, there's certainly no infringement of title of a artistic work. There's no title of any artistic work alleged in the complaint whatsoever. The cases that Mr. Mullen cited to refer to an earlier version of that offense, which simply was infringement of title and not infringement of title of an artistic or literary work. So the newer version in the Hartford primary policies is much more specific that it has to be a title of an artistic or literary work. And we don't have, you can argue that these artistic works, certainly creative works, but there's no title. There's no title alleged on any of Native American arts products in the complaint.
So you don't think Full Blood counts as a title either?
It may be a title in the context of the offense that appeared in that policy in that case, but in this instance, the offense is different. It's title of a literary or artistic work. So
it says Navajo or Sioux or something. Why is that different from Full Blood?
Well, it's not a title of an artistic work. It's not a title of a literary work. It's not a title like Adventures of Augie Marsh by Saul Bellow.
Well, neither is Full Blood. I mean, it might be a Black Angus, steer or something.
Well, I think
it's Full Blood or it isn't.
Sorry. I think it's reasonable to argue that that's a title of a particular cattle.
Full
type
Blood?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll have to admit I don't know that much about cattle, but I thought it was.
but
it's not, again, this is different because it requires this title of a literary or artistic work, and we don't have a title, like a title of a book or a title of a painting, for example.
Can we go back to advertising injury?
Sure.
They've made the point that whatever limits courts may have placed on the term advertising idea, mm-hmm. that the Hartford policies define them awfully broadly to include any idea for an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't that definition be inclusive enough to include NAA's decision to emphasize the notion that its products are made by Native Americans?
Well, in the first instance, there is no allegation in the complaint that Native American Arts advertised its products as authentic Indian products. There is an allegation that Native American Arts advertised authentic Indian products, but, okay, we'll twist it a little, and it's not exactly the same thing, but assuming that Native American Arts did advertise their products as authentic Indian products, Hartford submits that does not rise to the level of an advertising idea.
Would you say that's the same description
of a product.
Yeah, but let me take you to another industry, if you will. There are a number of competing grocery stores in the Chicago area, and Jewel and Dominick's advertise in a certain way, but Whole Foods advertises that it specializes in things that are organically grown and that are, as it were, authentic in a certain kind of way, and that's their theme, as it were. Why can't the Native American Arts theme be the very same kind of authenticity and genuineness?
Because really, referring to a product as authentic or a genuine Indian product is not an idea. It's simply a description of what it is.
Well, but it's also a way of inducing people to buy it. I mean, Whole Foods is hoping that people will pay their somewhat higher prices because they'll feel that they're getting a healthier or somehow better quality of food. It's that kind of organic image that they want, and just the same, people might like the idea of the authentic Native American productions, either for political reasons or for authenticity reasons or any other reason. Seems to me it's in part, at least, an advertising push.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose if an orange juice manufacturer advertised its oranges as Florida oranges, that's simply a description. It's not an advertising
thing. It definitely is an advertising thing, and there have been trade wars over that sort of thing, as opposed to Brazilian oranges sneaking into those containers. So I'm not sure that analogy helps you.
Mm-hmm. Well, authentic Indian product, that's a description. I don't believe it's an advertising idea. But again, that even if the claim falls within that particular advertising offense, we have two exclusions that apply.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my presentation. If the court has any more questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Cheney.
Thank you.
Mr. Bullen had used his time, I believe, so we'll give you a minute if you've got something you'd like to say very quickly.
Very quickly, I just want to say that the Taco Bell case does indeed say that the theme can be different ads, and that's exactly what's happening here. In order for the first publication to apply, it would have to apply to every ad over multiple years of multiple products throughout this period of time, and it just can't appear from the complaint. I mean, that is an issue that would have to be resolved, you know, later on in terms of indemnity and not in a duty to defend. And I just wanted to say that. Lastly, I just want to say that Native American Arts has never, in this case or any other, ever said that the Indian Arts and Crafts Act provides an intellectual property right. We've always said this Indian Arts and Crafts Act is sui generis, and it's exactly different. And had it been that they're creating a property right, they wouldn't have needed the Indian Arts and Crafts Act. They could have used the trademark. Thank you.
The court would like to thank both Mr. Mullen and Mr. Cheney for their very fine briefs and fine oral arguments today. The case will be taken under advisement.